This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Shanna Gardner's attorney is filing a motion to dismiss the indictment against her. Gardner charged with first degree murder in the February 2022 death of her ex-husband, Jared Breitigan, a case that a lot of people are looking at and going, oh my goodness, what are the tentacles of this? Originally, just Mario Fernandez Saldana, her second husband, was charged with the crime. And then it kind of turned into the weird web of, well, who committed this crime? They hired a hitman, or it appears a hitman was hired. At least hitman says they hired him to take this out. And slowly but surely, case mounted, and Shanna was arrested shortly thereafter. But now they're saying, some procedural issues are to be looked at here that violated her rights. And at the very least, she needs to have this charge dismissed, needing a taint team to come in, basically stating that information that was privy to her and her attorneys were looked at by the prosecution, because the taint team, the one that's supposed to separate that information out on her Google accounts and devices, didn't do such a good job. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent. One would think that if you're going to hire somebody to do this sort of a job, you're going to make sure that they know how to do it correctly, because this could completely derail the case.
Yeah, taint teams. I hadn't heard the term before, but it does remind me of things that I did in the FBI. We had to redact things all the time. I mean, I sat on many wires. Like when the first thing you do when you're in New York as a new agent is you rotate around and you kind of get an exposure to everything. I was on a surveillance team. I did applicant interviews, and I sat on a wire. And one of the wires I sat on was a LCN, La Costa Nostra wire. And you were given very, very specific instructions of when to turn off the recording, and you could spot check to turn it back on. Because if it wasn't relevant to the actual investigation, if there's an attorney, if there's family matters they're talking about that are not relevant to the case, you had to you couldn't record it because it wasn't part of the investigation. So a taint team, from my layman terms of it, are doing exactly the same thing. And as we're seeing here, they're fallible. Yeah. You know, if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, you don't know exactly what to avoid, and you have human beings involved, it's going to have failure. But I don't think it's one of these crazy things. You know, the new husband's already convicted, correct?
Not convicted. His trial is still coming up.
All right. So
charged.
They're partners. Again, I think that's where the evidence is going to go. To kind of acquit her, I think that's a bit much. I get why, if they violated her rights of attorney-client privilege, but hopefully there's more than just that.
It's one of those things where it's kind of a gamble if you're going to make this argument. Number one, the likelihood of these charges just being dismissed, not very good. I think they all know right. That. I think that that's not a possibility. But what could likely happen here is a new prosecutor, a special prosecutor, would be appointed right. To this case. And I guess that's, you know, if you're going to raise the issue, you better be pretty sure you want a different prosecutor, because you're rolling the dice there a little bit. If you have one that's pretty harsh, that, you know, knows her stuff, and you feel like this is going to be a hard one to go against, I could see rolling those dice if the option is there for you. If you can bring this issue up, if this issue actually took place, and say, well, let's see what else New York has for us. And yeah, you might get one that is a little less qualified. I mean, I could think of that in the Delphi case a bit with that prosecutor. Very green, very inexperienced. If something like this popped up, you know, maybe you don't want another prosecutor. Maybe you want the green one if you're the defendant.
Yeah, so you're rolling the dice there. But I'm always looking at it not just from the one singular angle of attack here. I'm always thinking of the jury. I am always thinking of the jury, because whether the jury or a juror says they have prior knowledge of a case or not, if you have even the slightest trickle in there of doubt because of misconduct that was done with the prior prosecutor or things like that, that actually bodes well for defense. That's why defense is always doing things like this, because they're always playing to the jury, always playing to the jury's interpretation of what happened, regardless of what people say they've seen or haven't seen. it just sows seeds of doubt. You know, we're seeing it in Koberger's case, seeds of doubt, because that's what they're paid to do. And I think this is part of that strategy, not just to roll the dice and get a new prosecutor in there, but also to sow seeds of doubt.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.